Welcome to Contractor Cuts, where we cover the good, the bad, and the ugly of growing a successful contracting company.
Welcome back to Contractor Cuts. My name is Clark Turner.
I'm Jerry Flo.
Thank you for joining us again this week. So we are in the final of three podcasts in a row, final week, where we are going over our growth path checklist, how we coach guys through the system from beginning to end.
Build a great company.
Yeah, and this isn't the end of the coaching program, but this is kind of the end of the guided tour through it, because the next couple levels are a lot more customized around your specific company while you're in the program. But week one, we talked about laying the foundation of your company, going from understanding every little thing that you need to have in place to have a successful company. So a lot of guys launching start there, but if you've been in business for 15 years, you still need to go check in with that. It's making sure that you have all of the baseline stuff like emails and websites and business cards and all of that stuff that you have to have set up, to operating agreements and the paperwork you need set up. So that was week one, going through that. It was a little longer of a podcast because we had a lot to cover in it. If you didn't hear that, go back and listen to it. Even if you've been in business for a while, there's a lot of stuff in that. Last week, week two, level one contractor, and that's going from for the base guy, it's going from swinging a hammer, being in the truck, up to being a full-time project manager. Now, if you're already a project manager, or you're running a company with three project managers running for you, or a setup, you know, where you've got a decent sized company doing $7-8 million a year, that's great. Level one is still needed because we are laying more groundwork for the growth that needs to happen. Level one is organizing and stabilizing the processes and systems that your company is, to where duplication is easy and mathematic.
That's right.
Right. And so today we're talking about, now that I've got to stabilize, I've got a great foundation, this is how we hire and grow into the future as a company.
Yep.
Right. So that's kind of the overview of where we've been. And also to mention, if you didn't hear the first two, we give away for podcast listeners only the base fundamental coaching session. We'll do a one-time session. It's a $500 value. We spend an hour with you and go through your company. We give that away to you as a podcast listener if you're on our complete level or above, which is only $199 a month, and it's a month, and you can sign up for it and get 2 weeks for free anyway. So,
if you're a contractor and you're like, I don't know if I did it right, or if you're the guy that's like, dude, I set it up perfectly, set up this thing. It doesn't cost you anything. It's going to cost you about 30, 45 minutes of your time. And if you set it up perfectly, we'll go through the checklist and like, hey man, thumbs up. You killed it. Yeah. Right. Worst case scenario, you come out of like, wow, I didn't even think about that. Let me get these things done.
That's right.
Right?
That's right. So entering level two as a successful project manager, right? That's the goal, is I'm coming into level two ready to hire. And really, the transition from level one to level two is not that first hire. It's prepping for the hire.
Yep.
Right. And so level two is, I've got my company systemized. I'm a successful project manager. I'm super efficient with my jobs, and my software is perfect, and I am the ideal candidate of who I'd want to hire as a project manager, because I'm running everything perfectly. That's entering level two.
Well, that transition of moving from level one to level two is, I've got a clear picture of what I do and how I do it.
Yeah.
Right? I know what I do. I do these things, whatever, but I also know here's how I do those things. There's actually a documented process of it. It's become the transition that you've said before. You're no longer selling yourself to clients. You've got systems and processes and whatever, that when you're talking to clients, you're talking about the systems and process of what they can expect from you, how you're going to operate, the type of communication that you've got with them, all of that stuff, where it becomes, you start making that transition that people aren't hiring you because of you. They're hiring you because of the systems and processes that you're spelling out to them, which is a prime position to be able to be moving into the next spot, where your pipeline starts growing, you have a lot more work, and your reputation is growing. It's time to look at hiring. Well, I've already built the ability to tell people, here's how I do what I do.
Yeah.
Right. So you're prepped and ready to bring somebody in and train them.
Yeah. And I think along with that, you are starting – this is, in my opinion, the most difficult transition. So mm-hmm. you transition from swinging a hammer, doing labor, into being a project manager. You're doing the same stuff. You're just telling people how to do it as the
right.
boss.
Right.
Right. And so as a project manager, you're making sure the people on site are doing what you know how to do.
Mm-hmm.
And so it is very similar, except that you're just overseeing
right.
as opposed to doing.
Right.
And so that transition's hard because you just want to keep grabbing that hammer and getting back mm-hmm. out there and doing it. But the more difficult transition is that first hire. And,
yep.
and the reason of that is because now I've got to compartmentalize my job into two different jobs.
Mm-hmm.
Because if I hire you, I've still got to run jobs. I mm-hmm. can't just give you all the jobs. It's adding a paycheck and not increasing the revenue doesn't
mm-hmm.
work. So
mm-hmm.
I've got to still be a project manager on jobs. I've got to hire you and train you up to be as good as I am as a project manager. And so I'm a project manager for my company,
mm-hmm.
but I'm now also a CEO and leader in this company. So
that's
those
right.
are two totally different skill sets. Being a boss, hiring someone, training them up, being the shepherd, helping them become an all-star, giving them that support without taking over, helping them coach personally and professionally to get better over the next 12 months. All of those skills have nothing to do with being a project manager.
Right.
Right. And so those are two separate jobs that you now have to do at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of times one of those gets ignored, and mm-hmm. usually it's the new one that's being a good boss. And,
right.
and what does that look like? So when we're working with a level two contractor, that contractor, we are really honing in what skills you need to really craft to be able to be a great boss, a
mm-hmm.
great CEO, and a great leader inside of your company. So what does that look like? Let's
uh-huh.
let's kind of dive into that. If you are transitioning to that, one of the biggest changes is that you're going to spend a lot more office time
mm-hmm.
than you were before.
Mm-hmm.
Making a hire, you're going to be shifting in. Now, again, this is going to be customized by company, but a lot of times the way we start, an ideal way is I want to, if I'm stepping into that role, I am head of construction. I am doing onboarding and estimates up front, doing the desk estimates, and then I'm sending you as my project manager to get on site, get your eyes on, refine it, and utilizing you there. And we'll go deeper into that in
sure.
another podcast about
yeah.
how to do that, why to do that, and how it's so helpful in growing that other person because they get to see your estimates and you know what's going on. But I'm spending a lot more time in the office managing that, managing dollars, managing software, managing QuickBooks, managing the finances, all of that stuff I'm
yep.
doing at the office, as well as trying to be a good boss, trying
yep.
to figure out how to do that for you. And I've got projects running on the side, right? It is a very difficult position getting started with this. Now, in level two, you're going to make a second and a third PM hire.
Right.
And when you do that, you're now totally out of PMing and you're full time in the job of head of construction.
Right.
And that's
right.
an
you're
easier
in, you're,
position.
You're in a company management role
yeah.
at that point.
Yeah.
But if you know, if you're a listener and you've listened to the first two and then this, the third podcast in this series, you can see why at the very, very beginning, we talked about time management. I need to learn how to take control of
mm-hmm.
my own time. Then the next level, level one, I need to be time blocking my time because I am now wearing two hats. I have office work to do and I'm also a project manager. Now I am office work, project manager, managing an employee and an owner directional, right? So
yeah.
if you at this level, it's really hard to go, okay, now I'm going to start managing my time. Well, you don't have the skills.
Yeah.
You don't know how to do that yet. And it's required from you now.
You couldn't find an hour of time to manage a month ago.
Right.
How are you going to find 10 hours this week?
That's right.
Right. Like that.
Yeah.
It doesn't jump like that.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's the beauty of this program is that there's a lot of, I use this example a lot, but kind of the Indiana Jones, right? It's a little bit by little bit so that we can eventually get to like, I'm full time doing this and
yeah.
I'm an expert at it.
Yeah.
Right. So
one of the difficult parts of this when we're coaching too is some people don't have the skills to be a boss.
Yeah.
Now they have the skills to be a jerk to tell people what to do,
mm-hmm.
but it's different because in this industry, when you're a head of construction, you're hire project managers. Your project managers are the all-star.
Yeah.
In most companies, I am the all-star and everybody else is a supporting role and that's how I grow it.
Yeah.
And I'm the boss and I'm the important one and everyone's my support staff.
Mm-hmm.
In this industry, I am hiring you as a project manager to go out and be on site as a representative for this company, and the customer's not even seeing me.
Yep.
You are carrying the load. You are the all-star out there making us look good, making us look bad, making us money, making us lose money. That's on your shoulders. And my job is to be your coach, your support, and your guide to being able to do that well and grow you personally and professionally here in this company.
Well, and we're not doing a leadership podcast right now, yep. but I will give you a little secret sauce. When it comes to being a good leader, there's one key piece that will make or break whether you're a good leader or not, and is being proactive in your engagement with your employees, mm-hmm. right? Thinking through, okay, I need to meet with this person, thinking about what they're dealing with, what they're having the space, the time management, having yeah. the space to think about my employees.
Yep.
If I'm fully reactionary of whenever I engage with them, it's just based on some flag that's popped up or whatever. All you're doing is just fire managing with somebody else.
Yeah, they're right? a tool.
You're not a leader. Yeah. You're not using your time to think about this person and creating proactive engagement with them.
Yeah.
If I'm going to meet with them every Friday, don't just show up on Friday and say, okay, we're here to meet. What are we going to be talking about?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Have some proactive thought, you know, and prep for it. It's easier said than done because time is hard to come by. But if you want to be a good leader, you invest in your people by spending time thinking about yeah. what they need, how you make them better. And it just takes time to be proactive with that. So that's a
yeah.
small snippet into just how to be a good leader.
And if we scared you away from making a hire, thanks for listening and just keep running jobs. I get it, right? Like there is a lot that seems scary in this, but the great part is our growth path is a step-by-step.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to be there helping you, guiding, and helping develop skills that you might not have.
Yeah.
Because it's a totally different skill set.
Yeah.
And so you got to be doing both those jobs at the same time.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Knowing that, we're going to walk into, we still have the same categories that you're going to be checking the boxes, mm-hmm. but we're looking at it through a different lens of how am I preparing this for that hire?
With a little bit more depth.
Yeah. Yes. And so, mm-hmm. you know, when I don't care about, you know, we're not keeping up your software for your sake. We're keeping it up as a guide of how the next guy is going to do it properly. So let's look at hiring. When, how, who, right?
Mm-hmm.
When we're looking at the hiring, when we're walking through that, there's a lot of check boxes that we have. The when is going to be your decision, but we will say, hey, you're not there yet, but yep. do what you want.
Yep.
Or, hey, you know, I don't know why you're waiting. Like, you're good to go. You got your money in place. You got your trainings ready. You got your systems down.
Which is funny because we've had both spectrums
we've
of
had
that.
Both.
We've had the people that are just chomping at the bit and they are not ready.
Yeah.
And we got the other ones that are like, I'll probably hire next year.
Yeah.
Like, well, hey, why aren't you hiring this year?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Well, and this is what we hear. Don't say this to us. If you're listening to this and we are coaching you or you're thinking about it, if we say, hey, it's not time to hire yet, and you say, I understand, but I've got so much business, I'm going to have to turn it away if I don't hire.
Yep.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Yes, you're going to have to turn it away.
Uh-huh.
I'm so mm-hmm. sorry, but you mm-hmm. will make a hire to say yes to business is going to ruin your company.
Yep.
We've seen it and we've done it. Mm-hmm. We've made that mistake time and time again. So
I promise you the cost of reputation is going to be way more expensive than you yeah. turning down a couple jobs.
Yeah. And if you don't have it systemized mm-hmm. to where I can control my money and my costs and my promises, that project manager has so much rope that they will hang your company.
Yeah.
It's going
to
happen.
Well, and when it comes to hiring, we spend a lot of time with our coaching clients on this because yeah. there's only a couple key places in the growth of a company that are just major, costly, difficult.
Yeah.
And one of them is hiring people is one of the more difficult things that you will ever do.
Yeah.
And it is the most risky. It's going to cost you the most amount of money. So making sure you're doing all the things that you can do to stack the deck in your advantage.
Yeah. Well, right? And total transparency, it is even to this day is a difficult task in our construction company.
Yeah.
It is something last year we had two different project managers that we brought in and we lost a couple hundred thousand dollars because yeah. they were the wrong people and weren't managed well.
Yeah.
And again, I've stepped out of that side a lot, but again, that was a fault of ours of, oh, that's another hole that we got to fix.
Mm-hmm.
That's why that happened. And we're still troubleshooting that. And we will for the next 15, 20 years. Like
yeah.
there's always growth there. But no matter how many things you have perfectly in place, there's still the risk. And what we're trying to do is mitigate that risk to where it's as risk-free as possible, even though there's still some risk there.
Right.
So that is a spot. Making the wrong hire is the difference of profitability and not profitable this year. And we still
not this month.
This year. The year. Yeah. I mean, we try so hard to make every dollar, and one bad hire
eats it all up.
Yeah. With customers that you're covering stuff on, with them hiring the wrong people or bringing in the wrong, not being trained. There's so many spots that money just flies out of the bank account.
But that being said, when you have done it successfully, and you've got a team of just stellar PMs, you're getting the opportunity to have once a month meetings as a company and spelling out a couple of different things and where we're going, and getting to do company events because we've got a little bit of extra cash, so I can take them to Topgolf or to dinner somewhere, right? When you get to that place because you've done the hard work to hire in the right people, that's a real special place.
For
it's
sure.
It's a lot of fun. It's a great place to be. It's hard to get to, but it is absolutely doable.
Yeah, there's a healthy pride there.
Yes,
of our team and what we've done.
And honestly, some of the pride comes from we didn't just get lucky.
Yeah,
right. We worked our ass off to think through all the different things. What can we? How do we interview these people? How do we test them? Yep. How do we worked really, really hard to make sure that we found the right person and then trained them and gave them the tools that they needed to be successful. So when they are successful and they're doing really well and you see them buy their first house and like, there's just some, there's some pride there. There's some, you know, it just feels nice to like have some good people working for you and see them become successful.
Sure. For sure. So going back into the coaching though, the when we talk deep about, when are you ready to hire? And that's pretty apparent, right? Mm-hmm. It's pretty apparent when we're looking at your numbers, looking at your finances, looking at your jobs, your pipelines, your flow, how accurate and clean your software is. We are a third party looking at you saying, hey, thumbs up, go do it, make that hire. Or, bro, you can't, ready. You're not there yet. And then it's your call. As a coaching client, you're paying the money. You decide when you do it.
Yep.
But we have the only thing that I have in the game is I want you to be successful. Mm-hmm. I don't care about your feelings. So if I'm telling you you're not ready and you go do it, all right, that's not your call.
Go for it.
Yeah. But that's the when. The how. We've got an HR process that we walk you through. Again, we're not going to dive. That's three podcasts in and of themselves. But it's how to post and find, how to interview, how to second interview, how to weed out, how to ask questions, what questions to ask, how do you test them? All of that stuff, start to finish. We have a full process that we start training you in once you're a level two contractor and you're getting closer to this spot to do it. Mm-hmm. But the how is very easy. But it's also the most important part of this is identifying, filtering, checking in, and making sure. And a lot of during the how, it answers the last one, who.
Right.
Figuring out who you're going to hire is a lot of times counterintuitive. We've said this before on the podcast. I like to hire guys like me because I get along with them and I want to go have a beer with them. Mm-hmm, like we're buds. This dude's hilarious. I love him. He's so much fun. I don't need another me around as my first hire.
Right.
I need the yin to my yang. I need the other
somebody
side.
Somebody that's great at the stuff that I suck at.
Yep. And so that is part of the who. And every hire is a different who. Your first hire versus your second hire versus your office manager versus your tech. All those hires are different personality types that we're looking for. Mm-hmm. How we do it is going to be a little differently for each of those job roles. And we've got all of that laid out in our HR process. As to who you're hiring, job descriptions, use these job descriptions, take them, edit them, hire that person. It's a really great systematic way to ensure that you're stacking the deck on the gamble of a hire.
Right.
So you're going to hopefully win more times than lose because you've done all of the prep work. You're ready to do it. You know how to do it. And you got the ideal candidate in mind is who they are.
Right.
So what does your day to day look like through the hiring process, right? That's something that we need to dive into because hiring someone is a full-time job. Mm-hmm. I might get 30 resumes, 40 resumes. I need to interview. There is a lot of time. So how are you going to keep your jobs running, right? All of this jobs happening that I'm trying to run, I've got this long pipeline of jobs at once. So every minute I spend not running jobs and hiring is a minute I'm not making money.
Right.
Right. So how do we get efficient with our time, time block that stuff, make the right hire and not just interview one person, love them, great, you're in, I don't have time for this.
Right.
How do we manage the day-to-day while doing that?
Let's take a quick break.
Hey, real quick, you're listening to this podcast because you are growing your company to the next level. Getting efficient, building structure, and creating organization is a foundation of growth. We've created ProStruct 360 software so you can spend less time doing paperwork and more time growing your company. Sign up today for free at ProStruct360.com. Whether you're using our free version to send estimates and invoices and getting paid online, or you choose one of our paid subscriptions to add in sending work orders, email, and QuickBooks integrations, and so much more, stop putting off what you know is necessary to get to the next level. Take control of your growth at ProStruct360.com.
One of the things that I will say about that is, you know, I'm always the one that harps on time management, but if you haven't created space to be able to spend time on this stuff, on what it takes to do the hiring process, I promise you, you will make a decision before you've gone through the due diligence.
Yep.
Right. You will say, ah, you know what, this guy's the best, blah, blah, blah. And you're just going to bypass the second interview. You're going to bypass sending them out and testing them. You're going to bypass calling on references, right? It's just, we've done it many times over.
Yeah.
Because we hadn't created the space. The business had a sense of urgency of like, I got jobs that have to be running. I've got money that has to come in. I can't afford any more time here. So I'm just going to spend as little as I can to find the perfect person. And you're going to bypass the things that are helping stack the deck in your favor.
Yep.
So that's the place where, okay, it's going to take a lot of your time. So make sure that you've allocated space to be able to spend that time so that when it comes down to, okay, I've got a great candidate, what's my next step?
Yep.
And you've got the time and space set up for it. So you can do it and you're not going to risk, you know, bypassing it and making a bad decision.
That's right. All right. So moving on beyond that hire, there's three different things we want to cover too. I'm going to go from the bottom up, but the CFO level of financial understanding and management is where you need to be at. And so we work on that in level two of, you don't just need to make sure that you're making money on your jobs anymore.
Right.
We are managing a company with increasing expenses. We got a second vehicle with gas. We've got an office at this point probably or getting close to that.
Insurance costs are going up.
Insurance. Mm-hmm. I mean, you are skyrocketing in overhead expenses. Mm-hmm. So every dollar, money management, understanding, budgeting, looking at, pulling levers as to, hey, if we don't get three more jobs, we're going to have to let one of these guys go.
I set my jobs at 32% profit, but I know I always end up at 22, right? Well, that worked in stage one.
Yeah.
But stage two, you've doubled your overhead. You need to dial in why you're losing so much profit on your jobs.
Your overhead went from 15% to 22%. Mm-hmm. So now you're breaking even because your jobs are coming in at 22%. Yeah, that's right. What's happening?
That's right.
If you don't know those numbers, you're not ready to hire.
Yep.
If you don't have all of that pinned down to where I can look at the last 6 months, last 12 months, last 2 months, this jobs that are open, where am I losing money? Where am I making money? It feels like a lot of financial knowledge. It is. Mm-hmm. This, you're not going to get to this level overnight.
Right.
That's why we have these baby steps, because we started this financial management. Remember back in base fundamentals, you probably don't need QuickBooks starting your company, but let's go ahead and get it set up. So when I'm looking back in a year from now, I can see where the money is going.
Right.
And so we're starting those early. So by the time you get to level two, you have a very good understanding of QuickBooks. You know where your money's going in and out. Your software's being operated, so it's keeping all of your financials accurate. Because that's part of this too, is you can know numbers and you can know how to read reports. If you're not doing the legwork in the software on the jobs to keep your numbers accurate, there's no data to look at.
Right.
Right. So that's why we've got all of these steps that build on each other, because once we get that stuff accurate, now let's get that CFO level of money management understanding.
Yeah.
I hate QuickBooks. Uh-huh. You're great at QuickBooks. Uh-huh. In our company, you handle a lot of that finances. I still have to know how to read every single report.
Once a month, we sit down, we go over reports. Yeah,
everything. Yeah. I need to know exactly what everything means, and I can operate QuickBooks real well by now. I can handle it because I've forced myself to learn that stuff. Because if I didn't know it, I don't have the reins. I don't have the controls of the money in the company.
Right. But you can read financial reports. You can you know what they're saying to you, yes. Right? You need to understand that. I mean, you think about it in this level two, right? This is the level that we're probably going to be crossing over the million and a half marker, right?
Yep.
So you think that's $1 million worth of money that you're responsible for managing.
Yeah.
Right. Whether you're spending it on jobs, but that's $1 million that's running through your hands. Small little mistakes cost a lot of money.
That's right.
You know,
that's right.
So you need to know where your dollars are. You need to have that CFO level understanding of your money.
Yeah. You're usually 1 to 2 million. And once you make that higher, you should be 2 to 3 million is the ideal. And that being said, and again, that's in renovations. Right. I mean, it's different for
different industries.
Whatever.
Yeah.
But all that being said, 1%, 2% on $3 million is a lot of money. Mm-hmm. That's a full paycheck for the year. That's 60 grand.
Yeah.
Now, 2% when you're running jobs by yourself and you're doing 500,000 a year.
It's
not going to put me out of business.
Yeah.
Right. And so, and we also talked about your overhead was running at 15%. Now your overhead jumps up to 22%. Mm-hmm. So you just lost 7% of your profit by making that higher initially. This hire is going to get you really thin financially until they start paying dividends in 6 months from now, and you're now better than you were.
Which means, again, you need to be able to know what kind of profit am I actually making on my jobs. Because if my overhead is 22% of what I'm bringing in, and I'm only hitting 22% profit on my jobs, I'm break even as a company.
Yeah.
If I hit 18 because something goes bad, I paid money to do that job.
That's right.
Right. So, but you have to be able to know and read that information, find it, and be able to say, you know, from here, now that we made this hire, we have to be super cautious about where we're spending money on our jobs.
That's right. So that's the financial side. Next thing we want to get set up before that hire is creating accountability. Mm-hmm. So we kind of have that in four different spots. It's the accountability with the project manager, we do a once a week PAL meeting. We give you the paperwork and teach you how to do that. That is where you're reviewing their jobs. It's head of construction job. It's I'm looking over your jobs. I'm looking at what's going on. I'm giving you the wisdom and knowledge that I have when I'm assessing your job as to what's falling behind, what you could be doing better, how we're going to communicate. We've got our three questions that we ask on every single job, every single week. I'm looking at that where I'm saying, hey, why isn't this push to the client? You just changed the estimated completion date 2 weeks. Why haven't you told the client that? Oh, I meant to. Okay, great. Write that down. You're gonna send that email after this meeting. So I'm doing my 30,000 foot view PAL meeting. You got to have that in place before you make the hire. That's not a reactive thing after you make that hire. That's I'm going to know how that's done. Do it on my own jobs. And when I make a hire, I'm going to train them on this is how we're going to do it once a week.
Well, and that's the – in the PAL meetings is where you find out what you don't know that your employee doesn't know.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It's the space like, wait, I thought you – why did you do it that way? Like, I don't know. I just –
Yeah,
you know, like, oh, you've never done an LVL before.
Yeah.
You have no idea how to measure that, right? Open up a wall and open up, know? And so that's a place where you can catch before it becomes a major issue where there are some guys that don't want to disappoint you, so they're just going to guess.
That's right.
You don't need a guess when it comes to the structural integrity of a building.
They think they know and they do it that way. And it's like, what are you? No. That's a load bearing wall. We cannot just knock it out for $800. That's not enough.
Yeah. But it also becomes a place where you also have the opportunity to support and lead that person.
Yep.
But all of that is creating accountability just by nature of I have a weekly meeting that my employee knows they're going to come in and we're going to sit down and we're going to talk.
We also, before making that hire, planning out the PAL meeting, we also were doing a handbook.
Mm-hmm.
This is every question that you have. We have a handbook. We'll give it to you. It's like 58 pages long.
Yeah.
Every question that you need to answer for your employees is in there. So we want you to go through it, edit it, make it your own. Vacation. What happens when you get sick? What happens?
I mean, all the way down to FMLA, the insurance stuff and like, you know, disability, just knowing all of that stuff that when you get to an employee status where you have employees, you have to have that stuff.
Yeah. Some of it's required by law to give to them and show them and have in writing.
Right.
All that's there for you. create one if you're not in our system. If you are, we'll give you ours and we'll work through it. But that's happening in level two. Mm-hmm. Job clarity. We need to have defined job roles. And again, we give you all this, mm-hmm. the job role to take and edit as a project manager or as an office manager. Take this. Let's make it into how they're going to operate. But we need clarity on that and consistently making it even more clear after the hire.
Right.
As they're in the job, hey, let's add that to your job description. You're really doing that well and doing that often. And then finally, you're steering the ship. Mm-hmm. I am in charge of making sure that big picture, we're going in the right direction. So even with one employee, you are still the captain of that ship. And so that means I'm making sure that you're taken care of, that you're held accountable, but also taken care of.
You have everything that you need to be successful.
And we're right. headed in the right direction. Mm-hmm. And we're turning left, we're turning right, but we got to head towards that North Star. Mm-hmm. We're going to keep going that way. So that's kind of the accountability. And finally, the last thing that we want you doing in step two is once you make that hire,
right.
is we want to constantly be refining our processes. So the 10-step project manager process from intake to final invoice. Mm-hmm. How you do it in Oklahoma is different how we do it in Georgia versus California versus Ontario.
Right.
There's every company's different. Every city's different. Every location's different. Code and permitting is different. So when we're looking at our process, we want to assess as we're growing of what's missing, what's needed, what's added, what's unnecessary.
Yep.
And you're going to get that refining happening once you hire someone. Mm-hmm. Because, a lot of times it's, I didn't put that in my process because that's just how you do it. And the person's right. like, I don't uh-huh. know how to do it that way. Okay, mm-hmm. great. I'm going to add that in my processes. Mm-hmm. That's how we do it every single time. We wrote down, I want 80 photographs from every job site. Mm-hmm. Why that many? Well, because if you get 80, there's nothing you're going to miss.
Yep.
Right. And so when me and you were running it, we take a ton of photographs because that's like we want to cover.
Why would I not do that?
Yeah. And when someone starts and we look at their job,
they got
job,
three photos of a doorknob.
Yeah, it's like, how can I assess this as your boss and look and help you make sure you're not missing stuff mm-hmm. if I can't even see the job? I'm not driving out there.
Right.
And so constantly refining that process, the office process, that is what level two is doing. It's mm-hmm. that first hire, making the hire, and then post hire, let's refine and set up. Now,
which is honestly, that's the you wear all the hats because you're the owner.
Yeah.
That's the COO. That's the operations person. Yeah. The operations person is constantly looking, what are we doing? How are we doing it? And is there a better way?
Yeah.
Right. And you're looking for bottlenecks. So when it comes to the 10 steps, there's a lot of variables of change. We went from one project manager to now we have three. Does it still apply and work?
Yep.
Right. Did our company change that we need to adapt this to? Did the industry change?
Yep.
Right. Are there things happening in our economy and then the housing industry that make this different? Yep. Right. And so you're constantly adapting that, making sure that it's a living document and it's up to date with how you currently work.
Yep. We're also introducing some more stuff. Like level two is where we start suggesting getting into more social media when mm-hmm. we're going into the marketing side.
Right.
You can do it as early as you want, but right. by now you need to have some sort of social media. You know, we always say Instagram is the new like photo book to show you my work, right?
Right.
And we don't share photos. I mean, I remember forever ago when I first got started, I had a portfolio mm-hmm. of jobs that you could flip through where I printed out photos from my actual film uh-huh. from a camera, right? Uh-huh. Like going modern, people go to your Instagram, people go and look at your social to say, let me see what they can do and what they do. So we want to be updating that. There's a bunch of stuff like that we start adding in here. Yeah. But again, bite-sized pieces. Mm-hmm. Don't worry about that yet. Don't get – until you need to do that, let's not worry about that. And that's the beauty of the system.
I can't tell how many people that I've said or you've said to them, why do you want to pay for leads right now? You don't have a product to deliver.
Yeah.
You don't have a system of how you actually do the work.
What are you selling?
You have nothing to sell,
yeah.
right? You want more work to come in and bog up your system?
Yeah. Yeah. It's easy sitting on the other side. It's hard sitting in the middle of that because it's like, I just need more work. I just need mm-hmm. more work. And so that's the beauty of having a coach is that we sit there and say, listen, from an outsider's perspective, this seems weird that you're doing it.
Right.
Right. And so that's the beauty of this that we love helping our partners out with. So that's level two. That's kind of the long and short. Again, this is going through level two. You start with no hires. You end with at least two project managers and an office staff. And we walk through every single hire and how to do it throughout level two. And level two is a longer level. You know, it might take you a year, 2 years, 3 years to get through it. But again, this is a bite by bite. It shouldn't take you 3 years, but it can. And that's okay.
Well, hiring never goes perfect.
Yeah. Yeah. When I say you hire two project managers, that means you're hiring four and two won't be with you. Right.
That's right.
That's kind of how it goes in the beginning. Mm-hmm. But that's level two. That's kind of the long and short of base stabilization and then growth of what we're coaching you through. Mm-hmm. If you want this information, we love to talk with you about it. Go to ProStruck360.com. We'd love to share this with you. Like we said, if you're a complete level user in the software, we do the baseline meeting for free with you. We want to get you going and get you to the next level to where we can really double down and help you potentially in the future with coaching and level one and two stuff once you get there. So sign up for that. We'd love to hear from you. Again, ask about that once you sign up. Shoot us an email. We'll email you. Jared emails you as soon as you sign up. And so you can reply to that email about getting set up for this. But we love really helping you guys get to that level and being able to give away as much as we can for free. Really kind of to get everybody in this fraternity of contractors.
Check and see together. How good you are.
Yeah. Yeah. You know? It's fun doing this as a group and having each other to be able to go down the path together.
Right.
So, all right. Thank you guys so much for listening, and we'll talk to you next week.
See ya. Bye.